Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Dolphins fans, how are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Monday, January the 28th, and we got a little bit of a smorgasbord here to talk about concerning the Miami Dolphins, so let's get right to it. For those of you who watch the Pro Bowl, and if you do, God bless you, you're a lot better person than me. Xavien Howard had an interception. The AFC won 26-7. Xavien Howard made a play, and he intercepted the pass. So I guess that's pretty much the only Miami Dolphins-related news to come out of that game. You know, the game's a waste of time. It's a joke. It's not even real football. But it gets a high rating every year, so people are watching it. And that's pretty much the only reason the game is still around. But Xavien Howard did have an interception. Right now, everything with the Miami Dolphins is pretty much on hold till next week this time after the Super Bowl, when Brian Flores will officially become the head coach of the Dolphins, and then we get the official hires of who will be the offensive coordinator, who will be the defensive coordinator, of course, all the position coaches and such underneath that. The latest rumor, which is almost more than a rumor at this point, it's pretty much almost confirmed here by many outlets, is that Flores is going to hire New England Patriots wide receivers coach Chad O'Shea to be his offensive coordinator in Miami. Now, O'Shea would have most likely been promoted to offensive coordinator in New England last year should Josh McDaniels had taken that job with the Colts. That was the report that because McDaniels accepted the head coaching job with the Colts and at the last minute he backed out. If he did not back out, O'Shea would have been promoted to offensive coordinator in New England. So he's been the wide receivers coach for New England since 2009. Obviously, he's been in New England for many years with Brian Flores. He's a young guy. I think he's like 46, 47 maybe, somewhere around there. You know, highly thought of. He's been a NFL coach for like 16, 17 years roughly, somewhere around there. So, you know, that's the report. And look, here's what I'm going to say. And this is a blanket statement, not really aimed at any people in particular or any, you know, websites in particular. Do not get overly excited here with the announcements of who's going to be an offensive coordinator, who's going to be a defensive coordinator. We've been down this road enough as fans of the Miami Dolphins. When we hired Joe Philbin, you know, fans were all jumping for joy. We got the guy who helped make Aaron Rodgers what Aaron Rodgers is in. Joe Philbin's going to help our young quarterback that we just drafted, Joe Philbin, and it meant nothing. Then we get Adam Gase, we get the same thing. Oh my God, Adam Gase is going to get this, and Adam Gase is going to do that. And then once Vance Joseph left, Matt Burke, he went to an Ivy League school. He's so smart, he's going to be a great coordinator. None of it worked out. We've been down this road 100 times. I cannot get excited about, you know, a potential, or when they announce it, an official, you know, first-time coordinator like Chad O'Shea, like Patrick Graham, you know, whoever they hire to fill these spots. It looks like it'll be them. If it's not them, it's someone else. Again, yeah, I can't get excited because we've been down this road in the past. If you go back to people who have been on, you know, social media, even like respected reporters or people who have respected blogs, you know, you go back when they hired Adam Gase 3 years ago or so. It's like everyone praising this. None of it panned out. It bombed. And his hires underneath him, they bombed. Nothing worked. So it's like, I know some sites and I know some reporters and some radio stations, they get overly excited with some news like this. And I'm like, why? Each one of these guys, say it is Patrick Graham and say it is Chad O'Shea, who are the two coordinators here for Brian Flores. It's like, what's to get excited about? They're two first-time coordinators who we know nothing about. And yes, they have strong resumes. And yes, you know, maybe... but it's like, we've had guys with strong resumes in the past who stepped into those roles and they failed miserably. So it's like, I don't know what, so it's like, it's tough for me to get overly excited here. Oh my God, Chad O'Shea's coming to Miami, being offensive. So what? What does it mean? He's not going to have Tom Brady. he's not going to have a ton of talent around him at these offensive skill positions. So it's like, I don't get overly excited. I take all this stuff in stride right now. We've been burned so many times with first time head coaches, with first time coordinators, that I see this news and I go, okay, let's hope for the best. Because, you know, I do see some people who have, you know, certain blogs. I see some people who work for major publications, you know, going nuts, be like jumping for joy. We're getting Chad O'Shea. We're getting Patrick. Who cares? I mean, we don't know. That's the thing. That's how, it's not that who cares is the right answer. Let me rephrase that. We don't know. So it's like, to get excited, to think, oh my God, these guys are going to be great here because they have been position coaches for many years in the NFL. Well, we've lived through this time and time again with Vance Joseph, who for somehow he parlayed 1 year as a defensive coordinator into a head coaching job when Miami was miserable on that side of the ball in 2016. So Vance Joseph, God bless him, he got paid, but I don't know how he got a head coaching job, and that is the great mysteries of NFL history. Matt Burke, he was a first-time coordinator, he stunk. You had Adam Gase, first-time head coach, he stunk. Joe Philbin, first-time head coach, he stunk. Tony Sperano, first-time head coach, he stunk. Paul Pasqualoni was a first-time NFL defensive coordinator, he stunk. Kevin Coyle was a first-time NFL defensive coordinator for Miami, he stunk. We've been down this road with guys who have good resumes, who are well-respected around the leagues, who just, they become first-time coordinators with the Miami Dolphins for the first time in their careers. They get the promotion to Miami and they stink. So it's like, okay, Chad O'Shea has been great as a wide receivers coach and maybe helping out with the offensive game plan there with Josh McDaniels in New England for all these years. But, you know, until he gets the actual job and he gets the full responsibility, we don't know. He might just be the next, you know, Matt Burke. He might be the next Paul Pasqualoni. He might be the next Kevin Coyle. We don't know. So I can't get excited about any of these news, about any of these hires. Again, hoping for the best. That's all I can do right now is hope for the best. But we'll see in time, because we're going to have another first-time head coach, and it looks like, from all the reports, we're going to have a first-time offensive coordinator and a first-time defensive coordinator, and we're hoping for all this to pan out. When our track record here in recent years, granted, Chris Greer didn't make all those hires, but our track record with first-time coordinators and first-time head coaches, with guys who were well-respected and guys who had legitimate NFL coaching resumes, you know, it's bombed. It's no nice way to say it. It's bombed. So hopefully we have a change here in our luck, but until I see it, I cannot get overly excited about it. Let's talk about, let's go on a lighter note here. Ricky Williams is still on Celebrity Big Brother. He's still in the house. Only a couple people have been eliminated so far. And once again, as I said on the show there last week, I'm a huge fan of the show and of the game Big Brother. So I'm sitting here watching this every night, even the celebrity version, which is not like the real version. Ricky's doing okay, though. He's sort of right now right in the middle. There's pretty much two sides of the house. The house is split, and Ricky's sort of like in between, sort of, you know, not making waves with either side. And he'll probably here in the coming days have to pick one side of the house to team up with. But Ricky, he's quiet. He has that dry sense of humor. He got into a little bit of a scuffle, and I don't mean a physical scuffle, of course, just a verbal altercation, fight, whatever you want to call it, with Tom Green, who is the comedian, which I think is funny when you just picture Ricky Williams and Tom Green not getting along, because you can find two polar opposites when it comes to personalities in Ricky Williams and Tom Green. But Ricky's still alive. He's still in the game. Game's going to go a couple more weeks here, if that. But Ricky is in the house, and, you know, he's holding his own. He is holding his own for sure. So for those of you who aren't watching, you might want to tune into CBS here one of these nights and take a peek at Ricky Williams, who is on Celebrity Big Brother. there was a report last week about, and again, I don't know how authentic this report was or how, you know, true it was, that Pittsburgh Steelers running back Le'Veon Bell wants to play for the Miami Dolphins. And you know, most of the fan base, I will say this about Miami Dolphins fan base, at least the ones I interact with on social media, the ones who email me, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff, you're getting smarter. Because I would say about 80% of you said, no way. No way, Jose. Want nothing to do with Le'Veon Bell. Now, there's still 20% of you guys out there who need to get a clue. Because the Miami Dolphins should not be entertaining the thought of signing Le'Veon Bell, which I don't think they are. It was just a report what Le'Veon wants. It didn't say that Miami had any interest in him. So I can't like rip the organization because this report is strictly from Le'Veon Bell's camp. And look, if you're Le'Veon Bell, you want to go where you're going to get paid. And you want to go to a team where you will get paid the most money. You look at the Miami Dolphins, they probably have right now, and don't flip out when I say this because it is a fact. It's probably true. As of today, late January, what we know heading into next year, Miami's probably going to have one of the worst rosters in the league. Not the worst, but one of the worst. One of the, clearly in the bottom five. Let's just say, I think we all can agree on that. Heading into next year, we're going to have one of the bottom five rosters in the NFL. And if you're Bell, you're probably thinking, one, I can play in Florida with no state income tax, and I'll take home as much money as humanly possible, which always helps. Because you look at Jacksonville and Tampa Bay, those are two teams that are sort of set at running back and might not be in the market for him. So he looks at Miami. Two, he spends a lot of time in South Florida training and working out and stuff when he's not in Pittsburgh. So there's that. And number three, you're looking, and he probably thinks, that team's got nobody else. They're looking for a superstar to add to their roster, and I would be that guy, and I would be the biggest name on the Dolphins, which he would be. But as we know, and what we know is the Miami Dolphins are like blowing this up and starting over. And I don't want to say they're going to be a glorified expansion team next year because they have more talent than any glorified expansion team when you've got guys like Tunsil and Howard and Fitzpatrick and all that stuff. They're not that, but you know, they're like one step above. Yeah, they're going to be one. Once they run off guys like Andre Branch and they run off guys like William Hayes and Ryan Tannehill and they replace them with like younger guys you probably never heard of before, we're going to be like one step above. We're going to be like one step above what you would call an expansion team. And that's okay. That's what this team needs to do. Run off all the bad contracts, clean it out, and then rebuild it the right way. And if you're doing that, you don't go out and sign big ticket items like Le'Veon Bell. And this also goes for Antonio Brown. So if you want to put his name in for Le'Veon Bell, you can, because it counts for each one of them or any player on their level. The Miami Dolphins shouldn't be trading for guys like that, shouldn't be signing them in free agency. That's not what they need right now. Those are guys who should be looking at teams like the Indianapolis Colts, who might be one superstar player away from potentially winning a Super Bowl. That's a place where Le'Veon should be looking at. It's not the Miami Dolphins. I pray to God that Chris Greer is not looking at all at someone like Le'Veon Bell to add to the roster, because it would just be a waste of money. And I don't care how you work that contract, it would be a waste of money, because the Miami Dolphins right now, look, we don't know what they're going to do with the roster. Maybe they're going to blow this up totally. Maybe they do trade Xavier Howard. Maybe they do try to trade someone like Drake. And maybe they do try to just literally blow this up and they want to build it almost like an expansion team. That might be something they do. I don't think it will be, but it could be. And if they do, you don't need an older player like Le'Veon Bell who's going to eat up a big chunk of your salary cap, because it doesn't help you now and it doesn't help you long term. Because if you are rebuilding, which is what Stephen Ross and Chris Greer said there when they announced the firing of Adam Gase, we're going to try a whole new approach, and we're going to, you know, it might be a rough 2019, essentially, is what they said. You know, you don't bring in someone like Bell. And, you know, for those of you who want to see that, no. It's just, the answer is no, 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 no. Le'Veon Bell does not belong in Miami. I don't care how much he wants to play there. It's not a good fit. And, you know, I do trust Chris Greer here. I don't think he would be, he would make the mistake here signing someone like Le'Veon Bell, someone like Antonio Brown, or someone of that level. Miami, it's okay. Look, 2019 might be a rough year to be a Dolphins fan. I'm saying this in January before the Super Bowl's even played. It might be a rough year. They might be, 2-14, 3-13, 4-12 at best. And that's okay. Because before you get to heaven, you got to go to hell. And they got to get, and they got to clean up the cap. And they got to, if they can, stockpile as many draft picks as they can. And if that's the case, then that's what they got to do in 2019. You only get one chance to hit the reset button. Okay? I hear people saying, oh, you got to give the head coach, you got to give Chris Greer, 4 years, 5 years. No, it's not how this works in the NFL. It's win now. You can rebuild, but even the rebuild has to come between years 2 and 3. That's it. And after that, if you ain't winning, sayonara, see you later, buddy. You're out of here. So they get 1 year where they can have a rough year and, hit that reset button. And when you hit the reset button, you don't sign guys like Le'Veon Bell. So we'll see. But that was out there, and I'm like, geez, really? If you're Le'Veon, though, I sort of understand why. Because he's just about the money. He is just about the money. And I don't blame him. I mean, look, he's putting his health on the line. So he should be just about the money and trying to get every cent he can get. But he'll have to get it somewhere else because I don't think it'll be with the Dolphins. Last thing I want to talk about real quick is the Senior Bowl, which was played Saturday afternoon. That is one game I did watch, unlike the Pro Bowl. I did watch the Senior Bowl, watched all four quarters, because I am interested in the quarterback position because Miami's going to make a move. Look, if they don't take one in round one this year, they're going to take one in somewhere after round one. You can take that to the bank. And I still think taking one in round one this year is in play. I think if the right one's there, they will take one. Or if they fall in love with one of these guys, they might even move up to get one. Because I think a quarterback in round one is still in play for the Dolphins this year. This quarterback class, is it as good as the one that'll be next year when you got, Herbert and some other guys in there? You got the kid from Oregon. You'll probably have the kid from Georgia. You might have the Alabama kid there. And is it that class? No. But, there's a couple guys here who might be legitimate NFL starters. I wanted to watch the game. And I know not all the quarterbacks are there, like Haskins and Murray and stuff, but I still wanted to watch it. And the two things that really stood out to me with the quarterbacks. One, and I've been, for those of you who listen to this podcast every day and who have been listening for years, I've been on this guy from the start, and he did a tremendous job Senior Bowl week, raising his stock. And in my eyes, I still think he's the number one quarterback in this draft. I think he's the real deal. And if the Miami Dolphins fall in love with him, I would not be upset at all. And that is Drew Lock had a heck of a week in Mobile at the practices. And then in the game, he looked good. He's a quarterback who checks all the boxes. Now, I know, people can nitpick about his footwork this, inconsistency that. I think the armchair scouts, and the ones I'm talking about, the guys on Twitter who watch, YouTube videos, or because they think they have access to all 22 videos, they're a professional scout as they sit in their parents' basement or their little one-bedroom studio apartment. They think they're a scout and they're not. And, Locke, to me, checks almost all the boxes of what you want in a starting quarterback in the NFL with the arm strength, the size, the ability to sort of read a defense and all that stuff. Came from the SEC. He played in big games with lesser talent and he put up numbers. That's all I know. Because when you are at Missouri in pretty much every SEC game, you're the underdog. You're not favored against Alabama. You're not favored against Texas A&M. You're not favored against Auburn. You're not favored against Georgia. You're not favored against Florida. They might be favored and maybe when they play a team like Tennessee or maybe when they play a team like Mississippi. It's like, for the most part, they are underdogs in every game. And he has lesser talent around him than the team he's playing. And, he kept the interceptions down. And he was more than 2-for-1 touchdowns to interception ratio. To me, I think he's a legitimate NFL starter, and I have no problem with him. Now, on the opposite hand, the one guy who I've seen play in person a couple times, and I am just not a fan of, and I think whatever team takes him in round one, is just asking to get ripped for it. And that is the quarterback from Duke, Daniel Jones. I just don't see it with him. I honestly don't see it. I see a weak arm. I mean, he's got some athleticism to him. And the one comparison you see a lot to Jones, which is kind of sad, is Ryan Tannehill. But I think he might be a little bit better than that. But he's the one comparison I see a lot when people talk about Daniel Jones. But I am just not a fan of his at all. I mean, I just don't see it. And how this guy is a first-round quarterback prospect is absolutely beyond me, because I just don't see it. I mean, I don't know what people are looking at. And once again, I'm not a scout. I'm not one of these guys. And I'm not even an armchair scout. I'm not even going to sit there and tell you I break down tape, blah, blah, blah. I'm just someone who watches a lot of football and who has been watching for over 40 years now. And when I see Jones play, I just don't see an NFL quarterback. I'm sorry. I mean, I don't see it. I don't know what people are seeing with him. But most of the quote-unquote experts and most of the professional draft people are saying he's going to go in round one. He could even be the second quarterback taken overall after Haskins, which, God, you know, I don't know. We'll see. And maybe I'm 100% wrong. And if I am, I will, hey, look, I'm wrong. But Jones, he won the MVP of the Senior Bowl, but I don't think he looked good, really. I really don't think he looked that good. But we'll see. But quarterbacks, look, we got the combine here. Starts March 1st, so that's about a month away. But, you know, it's going to be the topic of the offseason. What will the Miami Dolphins do at quarterback? And honestly, unless they sign a big-name guy in free agency, which I don't expect, we probably won't know till night one of the draft. And then if they don't take one night one, we probably won't know till the second night. Because if they come out of free agency in the draft would just say, and I'm just throwing a name out there, don't read nothing into it. If they come out of it, would just say Tyrod Taylor, and that's it. You know, clearly they are, you know, looking at 2020. But if they sign Tyrod Taylor or someone like Tyrod Taylor in free agency, and then, you know, they draft a lock, well, then, you know, that's their quarterback of the future, and they're, and that's it. But, we might not know this here in late April, what the plan is here at quarterback this year. But, you know, I like Locke. I don't think he'll be there at pick number 13 with teams in front of Miami like the Broncos, like Jacksonville, and the Giants. I expect one of those teams, though, to land Foles. Now, which one, I don't know. I could see Foles in Jacksonville. I could see Foles with the Giants. I could even see Foles with the Broncos a bit. But I could see him on one of those teams, which if he does sign there, I think that knocks them out from drafting a quarterback in round one, which means the teams in front of Miami who would take a quarterback would go down by one. You still got to throw in Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati's ready to move on from Dalton. And you know what? Let me look at this draft order. I'm not even sure. I'm pretty sure Cincinnati. Let's see. I think Cincinnati picks in front of Miami. I haven't memorized the whole first round of the draft yet. Let's see. Cincinnati is picking 11th, yeah, two spots ahead of Miami. So, it'll be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see. But I thought from the Senior Bowl, Locke looked outstanding. And I'm going to have on some people this week on the podcast who were there in person, and we'll get their takes from what they saw from Mobile, not just with the quarterbacks, but from all the positions this week. So that's all I have for today's show. Everyone, be sure to check out the website, DolphinsTalk.com, and be sure to follow me on Twitter at DolphinsTalk. We're going to have shows all week. I'm going to have a ton of guests this week. It's our own little Radio Row. I'm not at the Super Bowl on Radio Row, clearly, for this little podcast, but I'm going to do our own little Radio Row and try to get a bunch of guests this week on the podcast, so be on the lookout for that. Everyone have a great Monday, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.